we write down every Sunday three things that we're grateful for that week, and then we present them to each other. Like, we'll all read them to each other and then explain and unpack the things that we're grateful for.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here from online. I'm very happy to have Jason Harris. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Jason. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man.
Love talking about fatherhood.
Sweet, man. And you're one of the perfect guests for my show. Talk about, of course, your book and just your award-winning creative agency and all that good stuff. But like I said, let's kind of focus on fatherhood right now. When you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, Jason, what was going through your mind, sir?
Well, you know, I always wanted to be a father, and I was always sort of expecting that path would happen. And actually, you know, the first two kids with my now ex-wife, and I can certainly talk about co-parenting. That's something that I've been really focused on, how to co-parent well. But the first time, you know, it took us, we were really wanted to have kids, and it took us forever to actually get pregnant and have a kid. And so there was all this like pent up anxiety and stress going into the whole thing. And then, you know, when it happened, I was just so elated and blessed that, you know, when our first son came, and it was just, you know, such a amazing feeling. You know how everyone says they're not expecting early on the, like, you know, sleepless nights and not going out and all of that stuff. But I think because we went through like so much turmoil to have a kid, the first time, it was, I kind of bypassed that pain part because I was just so happy to have, you know, to have a kid in the world. Cause I always wanted kids that I, you know, I'm like, I don't care if I don't get sleep or, you know, if, the kid's crying or, you know, I've got to change 700 diapers. I'm just glad I have one.
Yeah,
man. So that was kind of the first time. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that. And again, I think that's one of the reasons why I love having people who are open and honest about fathers, because there are probably other dads that, you know, were in the same boat as you. And it's like, yeah, I don't care that I'm sleeping this night. I have the child that you wanted and you're blessed with that. And, you know, for, you know, you kind of mentioned just co-parenting. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of parents who are not dealing with that, but just, you know, experience that. So talk a little bit about your experience with co-parenting and also, like, what are some of the things that has worked for you? Because it might help other people listen to this, sir.
Yeah, sure. So I have two boys, one that's turning 12 on Friday and a 10-year-old. And so they're about like 20 something months apart, maybe 20, 21 months apart. So they're pretty close together, which is kind of was unplanned. But because we had, as I mentioned, a hard time on the first one, we kind of got started on the second one right away. And then, of course, what happens is you're not stressed and anxious, and then that kid, like, you know, we got pregnant like right away. But yeah, then since now we both live in New York City, about half a mile apart. Anytime you know, ending a marriage, your main focus is always on the kids, or should be on the kids. And so we've just been really focused on them and trying to create as much teamwork as we can, and really place, you know, the two gifts that we created together at the centerpiece of, you know, they shouldn't have to suffer because we couldn't figure our, you know. So we're really trying to co-parent and have a teamwork mentality. And I always try to come from a place of empathy as much as I can. You know, it's some days that's easy to do, and some days it's impossible to do. But trying to come from a place of empathy and see the other person's point of view, and really try to look at it as a collaboration. And when you look at commonalities, I mean, empathy is one thing I talk a lot about in my book as it relates to, you know, professional and personal relationships. But trying to always think about the commonalities, whether it's in your work life or your fatherhood life, and the commonalities we have are like trying to grow the two best men we can possibly grow together. And if we keep that common thread, the teamwork sort of, you know, sort of happens because you're dead laser focused on that goal. And so we always kind of bring it back to that and try to, you know, accommodate each other. And there's a lot of, especially during COVID, I mean, I can go on a rant on different things that we've done, but it definitely takes a lot of focus.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And again, like, I think that what you said right there about empathy and making sure that, you know, you and your ex-wife are there for the common goal, making sure that your sons are taken care of and everything is good. And I think that is, it speaks volumes of what you guys are looking to do. And that's a great value, you know, you're looking to instill into your kids, because you can say something to you blue in the face, but if you're actually walking the walk, from your talking of the talk, right, they will be like, well, dad's doing this, mom's doing this. They preach this to us. So, all right, if they're doing it, then we can do it too. So besides that value of empathy and just like looking at things from a different perspective and trying to put, you know, yourself in those person's shoes, which I think now more than ever, a lot of people need to do that. And it's a great value. Talk about some of the other values you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
You know, I try to, you know, teach as much as I can, you know, lead by example and try to be the best version of yourself and the truest version of yourself and try to, you know, be as honest and open with your kids, whether you're being, you know, vulnerable or struggling. Like, it's the same as in, you know, I'm a CEO of a company, and I've, you know, come to this realization of being vulnerable and letting them know what's going on. And I used to do both parenting and running a company from a standpoint of, I have to always look like everything's, you know, under control and calm, cool, collected, and I can't have any bad days. And I've sort of morphed that philosophy into, you know, if kids are modeling behavior and people at your company are modeling behavior based on your cues, you've got to be able to be open and say, you know, this was really hard for me, or this was a struggle. And it allows your kids, you know, and your employees, I'm kind of drawing that parallel, but it allows them to also open up and be vulnerable and not try to put on a fake work face when they go to work, or for my kids to put on a different personality because they don't want to upset dad. It allows me to say, look, I'm struggling with this. This part's hard. What are some things that are hard for you about, you know, our situation, and, you know, how do we work through that? And I think it just teaches them to be more open and honest and authentic people. And that's a real value that I hold dear, is being, you know, trying to be truly yourself in every situation and not put different masks on for different areas of your life and different situations. So that's one thing I try to instill in them. And then also being optimistic. You know, I like to try to approach life with an optimistic viewpoint. And there's always going to be hardships and setbacks and struggles and failures, but if you maintain that optimistic attitude, I think that really can power you through a lot. And so I try to, those are sort of like that honesty, authentic, bring your real self to everything, and this idea of like a genuine optimism. Those are kind of the two things I really try to keep like pumping into their brains and their developing brains, you know, and hopefully it'll stick. I hope, you know, nice. We'll see. Well, so far so good.
No, I think those are great values, and I appreciate a few things, because one of my, I did have a question about, is there a correlation between being a CEO of a company and also being a parent? So you answered that flawlessly. So thanks for doing that. I think kids, where they can kind of see if you're being authentic or not, right? I think kids can kind of see through the BS, right? So for you to kind of mention like, hey, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, and to, you know, feel like, you know, for the giving your kids the idea that everything is going to be sunshine and rainbows, it's not going to be. So if they can see how you will handle stressful days and how you handle certain things when everything is not going your way, that's perfect. So I think that is huge. I'm glad you're doing that, and hopefully other parents and dads that are listening to this can kind of do the same thing. I know that I'm going to try and put that into my quote unquote arsenal of fatherhood. So thank you very much for that. And for new,
yeah, man, of course.
Yeah. And so for new dads, listen to this. What is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer to them?
for in terms of like raising kids or
anything,
or,
the, you know,
or what
you can answer any way you want to approach, just like for anything, like if there's anything, whether it's not even about swaddling or, you know, this or that, but if there's one thing that, you found that was helpful for you as you became an experienced dad, what is one piece of advice you'd like to offer to the new dads?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to, this is a bit of a tactical one, but I think, early on, creating rituals for your kids is really, really important.
Yes.
And those rituals, like, you know, they've changed over time from when, you know, a new dad, you've got a kid who's developing and it isn't maybe talking or writing yet. So you might have a certain ritual that you do with a kid at that age. And I tend to like not make it too complicated. So a ritual that I do with my kids now that they're, you know, in double digits is we have Sunday night gratitude journals. And so that's like an example. Yeah. That's an example of a ritual that we do every Sunday night. It's always consistent. We do it at the same time. It's locked in the calendar. If I'm away or not with them, we'll do it over video. We just all keep our journals on. They're like little mini journals, like those Moleskin journals. And we write down every Sunday three things that we're grateful for that week. And then we present them to each other. Like we'll all read them to each other and then explain and unpack the things that we're grateful for. And they can be big things like, you know, being alive, to little ticket items like I, you know, played mini golf today or whatever it might be. Or I, you know, did well in school on this project. And so that ritual, I think rituals is what I would say, like to start developing early on with kids. And those rituals can change as they develop. But what it does is it instills this sense of routine. And for the journal part, it allows them to practice on, you know, how they feel and what they're thinking of. And then also practice almost on like presenting to other people, like getting their thoughts out and having to speak, even though it's, you know, three of us, but they have to actually explain their thoughts and the why behind it. And that really, to me, is that's my current ritual with them. And on trying days or like hard times, especially during COVID, they can flip through their journal and kind of get inspired if they're down or feeling, you know, melancholy. And that's also a good reference for them. And so, you know, we do that. We've been doing that for a couple of years, like no fail, every Sunday, 7 o'clock, half hour. That's our thing. And, you know, you don't have to have like 17 rituals. You just kind of need one that you're going to stick to, and you know, it can change as they develop. But I think that's one thing I would suggest for new fathers: think about what that can be with your kids. And I think that really helps kids become less anxious. They understand a routine. They can stick to something. It develops a lot of really good traits.
Man, you are making me smile. I have a big smile
from
here because let me just tell you, so I am such a routine type of guy. Even in high school, my friends would sometimes call me the robot, especially like the part-time job I had at school, you know, during school and all that stuff. But like,
Art the robot.
Yeah, seriously. So as I got older, and especially when I became a dad, my OCD or just my routine or certain other things just like came even like more into fruition because of that. But so I was smiling when you're just talking about like a ritual or routine, when they're babies, like, you know, bath time, where you kind of sing and dance with them after they've taken a bath, and then you put them into the crib and they go to bed. So I love that. And the gratitude journal, man, I'm getting chills because my wife, the gratitude journal, Moleskin, all of those things, we have that in our kitchen where it's not every Sunday,
but
we have that in March of this year on my website, autofatherhood.net. I wrote an article saying trying to find gratitude during this unsettling time. And it was taking the advice of my wife being like, hey, we've been in the beginning of the year, we started doing a gratitude journal, just writing things down. And when you're saying like having your kids flip through this, and it's just this uncertain time, right? Because they look for you for answers. And sometimes you're like, sweetie, I don't know right now. We're going to have to play it by ear, or whatever the case may be. And flipping through that, it's like, you know what? We do have food. We do have time with friends, or we learn how to plant a garden. So I think, Jason, oh, man, I can't even love this answer even more than I do right now.
I love that. Like, thanks, man.
What you're saying. So, like, again, maybe people who haven't thought about it, like, I would say a gratitude journal, even if, you, like, you know, maybe not every Sunday, but just when you, when your kids or you or as a parent have something to be thankful for, I think that's perfect, especially right now. So, man, great piece of advice. So, dads, listen to this. Do it.
Thanks.
Jason is preaching some good stuff.
I think you brought up, a good point for younger kids. It could be that ritual of, like, you know, singing the same song over and over, certain ritual during bath time, that I think, kids really, it like sticks in their brain. I think that's really, really good. How old are you have two daughters. How old are your daughters?
12 and then 10. So.
Oh, yeah. It's almost the same age. Yeah. And what a great age, man. What a great age.
Well, let me ask you this too, just because, again, we're in this whole pandemic, family and friends who have kids who are, you know, newborns to toddlers, and they're like, it's so tough just making sure that we're trying to find stuff for them to do. And then, like, teenagers where it's like they want to go out and do this. Like, I feel like our kids at this age were like, yeah, they want to do stuff, but they kind of understand, like, all right, we need to do this for a reason, and we need to kind of stay in and hunker down. And they get it. And even though they're schooling, I don't know about you, for your own experience, I don't want to speak on your behalf, but I felt like they would be, like, our teachers were great. And if they needed help, they'd come to one of us and we'd help them out. And then they'd go on and do their own thing. So not that I'm hoping for this pandemic, not that I want this, you know, us to go back to normal, but I felt like our kids, you can speak on your experience, Jason, but I felt like the age for our kids were like, they were kind of like, this is kind of a good age for everyone to be stuck at home. Right.
It really is a good age. I mean, I think it's hard. I don't know about you, but I think at that age, they sort of understand what's happening in the world, but I don't think they understand, like, how rare what we're going through is, you know? I think they're like, all right, yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks, but I'm with my folks, and I don't have to go to school, and that's okay. But they don't see this as, like, this sort of, like, never before life-changing kind of situation. You know, they're lucky that way, I think.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
And of course, I want to talk to you, of course, about your book, The Soulful Art of Persuasion, and also, you know, you're CEO of award-winning creative agency. And I think I love talking to creative people and seeing how they started things up. So give me your Spider-Man origin story. Talk about how you started that up for the creative agency, and we'll get into your book in a second. But what was your inspiration for starting it up?
You know, as a kid, I always knew I wanted to be in advertising since I was like 12. I was kind of like a TV junkie. My parents were they're very different than me. They were, I'm more like a father like you, where I try to nurture my kids' interests and figure out what they're into. I'm very hands on, and my parents were the opposite. They're very sort of hands off. So I ended up doing my schoolwork and playing sports, and then, you know, I watched a lot of TV, and I would always watch TV and really be into those, you know, Kool-Aid ads or Dunkin' Donuts or Lego My Ego or, you know, Mikey Likes It. I was always into, like, those ads, and I was like, somebody, like, that's a job. Somebody makes those ads. And so I, you know, went to school and started working always in advertising, and worked at a lot of different places and figured out what I liked about the cultures, what I hated about the cultures from the places I worked, what I liked about it. And then I got together with some friends about 16 years ago. So we've been at it for a while, and we were pretty young, and we just said, all right, why don't we start our own thing and see what happens. And we had like a core list of values that, you know, we wanted to run the agency by, and we wanted to really focus on culture and, having people feel like they were working with friends at work, and that it wasn't, there was no ego in politics. And so we kind of ditched a lot of stuff we'd seen in other places and picked up stuff we liked, and then set out to create an agency. And so, you know, we've been at it for about 16 years. We have a lot of big clients. We do all the ads for Peloton, which is obviously doing really well during COVID. And we do Ben and Jerry's, we do Charles Schwab, Alaska Airlines. We have about 30 clients. So, you know, it took a long time to build and, you know, pretty blessed to be where we are. But a lot of it is based on a culture and this idea of how we work. So, yeah, that's kind of my journey. So I've always been in this space. I knew early on what I wanted to do. I was pretty fortunate that way.
Nice. And in your company, Mechanism, correct?
Yeah, Mechanism, with a K.
Yeah, and of course, we'll put up links on where people can check you out. And of course, go to thesoulfulart.com for more on Jason. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason_Harris. And you're talking about a kid like growing up and like watching, you know, commercials and all that, and the time to make the donuts, and Mikey likes it, and like Micro Machines, all that other stuff. This is such an oddball question, but I feel like you'd be down with this. Are you into like cereal too at all? Like back in the day, like, you know, Saturday morning cartoons and cereal. Or were you like a cereal kid like me or no?
Oh man, I am still into cereal.
Yes,
I'm like obsessed with cereal. I eat cereal though. I have it at, it's like my late night. Or not my late night. It's like my after dinner go to. Instead of having like ice cream or something else, like I have a bowl of cereal at the end of the day.
Mom.
And I think it must be like the time, like growing up. I don't know. I guess I was like brainwashed by ads, but like cereal to me is like tapping back into being a kid, you know?
Yeah, I just felt like what you were talking about, what you were into as a kid, going to sports, doing your homework, and then sitting down, like watching TV and like breaking down commercials, man. And like for me, like, I'm so excited that The Mandalorian's coming out with a cereal. Like, you know, and it's like very, it harkens back.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
What's that going to be? What kind of flavor is it?
For me, like, back in the day, one of my favorite, I'm 41, right? So, like, 80s and 90s kid right here. I loved Pac-Man cereal. It had like the Kix corn balls, or you know, whatever those were, and then corn balls, and then like Lucky Charms marshmallows, and that was such a great cereal. Then fast forward, I'm a Star Wars geek. Fast forward when Attack of the Clones came out, they made a cereal very similar, corn like, you know, bits, and then you had the marshmallows. For some reason, I don't know who did this, whoever had the idea, they marketed Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and the Rise of Skywalker cereal with the corn, with marshmallows, same marshmallows, but they use, instead of corn, they use like a fruity type of like cereal base. I'm like, you can't do that. There's different things you can or can't do. But the Mandalorian is harkened back to like the Pac-Man days where it's corn balls and then it's going to be marshmallows. I know I took this podcast and this interview in a different direction, but I just wanted to let you know, like, I'm a very...
You just had to talk about that. That's true. There's a new cereal that some friends I know started called, it's called Magic Spoon.
Yes.
And it's basically... Have you heard of it?
Yeah. I see, probably because of Facebook and all these ads, but like I'd see it. It was like the healthy, you know, alternative cereal, but it was boxed like from back in the day, like looked like Trix or looked like something along those lines, right?
I mean, it's basically fruity, frosted, cocoa. They have different flavors, obviously, but they basically reimagine childhood cereals, but with, they added protein and low calories.
Yeah.
And it tastes, okay, it's not exactly the same, but it tastes pretty damn good. It's like good adult cereal, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really made for kids, but, you know, you and I would eat it. But you should try Magic Spoon.
Nice, man.
It's really, really good.
I'm all about cereal, so I'll definitely check them out, man.
And then my favorites, all right, before we end the topic of cereal, because now we're on a roll with
sure.
But, like, I need to know, like, what are your like top three favorites?
Top three favorites you can get now are Cocoa Krispies, Crunchin' Berries, and I don't know, maybe it's a traditionalist, but like I love Honey Nut Cheerios, man. You can't go wrong with a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios.
All right, I'm with you. All right, so we have one crossover. Honey Nut Cheerios, it's really good. I love Frosted Mini Wheats.
Nice.
I don't know why. It doesn't feel like it's as bad for you.
Yeah.
And then Lucky Charms is like my all-time favorite. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I know, man.
Were you able to get one of those boxes of all marshmallows at all or no?
No, I didn't get one of those, but I wanted to.
Nice.
I missed the boat on it.
Same here. All right.
Yeah.
Two more questions before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And again, I appreciate everything that you're sharing with. And kind of like when I interview like an athlete, if they've gone to the Super Bowl, won MVP, whatever the case may be, their journey, obviously, from what they're doing and where they were, or maybe an actor of like what role that they landed meant so much more to them because of where they're at. So for you, while you're, you know, creating this agency, working with your friends, what did you learn about yourself that you can probably obviously pass on to your kids about a good trait? But is there something that you're very proud of, or maybe landing a client or doing something because of where you're at starting this business or in the middle of the process of your business? Is there something that you can kind of key on that you were like, I was so proud of this accomplishment?
Yeah. Either an ad I did or a client I won or something like that.
Yeah.
I'd say there's maybe two examples, but I helped create a campaign it was a pro bono campaign, but it's 6 years going now. And I launched it when not to get into politics at all, but I launched it with the Obama and Biden White House, and I talk about it a little bit in my book. But it was a campaign called It's On Us to help fight sexual assault on college campuses, which, you know, one in five women typically in their first or second year of college are sexually assaulted, usually by like older college guys on campus. And that it's just this like gross kind of undercurrent issue. And we launched this campaign called It's On Us to show that, you know, we didn't want to do a campaign that's like, okay, don't assault women. We wanted to say, hey, it's on us. It's on like the bystanders that might see it and don't act, or the roommate that, you know, tells the girl she shouldn't talk about it because it'll hurt her reputation on campus, or the school that doesn't want to recognize it because it'll make them look bad if they have a lot of cases of sexual assault and they won't get applicants. And so we created this campaign, and we built it just like we were building a Nike brand or some other brand. We created a logo, a simple imagery, really colorful. We made a lot of apparel. We created an online pledge. We set up 500 chapters across the country on schools. We created a whole like grassroots movement and celebrities. It's a whole campaign. It's 6 years in. It's still going. It's changed a lot of legislation in different states. And that's probably like my proudest achievement, because I was using the power of advertising and marketing and branding, you know, which I learned from Next Cereal, you know, and I apply those skills to, you know, tackle a challenge that's happening in colleges across the country. And it's been really successful, and it's had a really big impact. And so, you know, that to me is bigger and more important than, you know, selling deodorant or ice cream. I mean, it's all important. It's all business, but that campaign to me was a real kind of hallmark for me, and, really important one.
As a parent, I appreciate what you did. It's people go to itsonus.org, and you can follow them on Twitter at itsonus. And again, I've seen campaigns, you know, from that organization. So again, I applaud you for doing that. And I think, you know, any we always want our one of that for me as a parent, I want to make sure that I produce kids or just help my kids find their journey, but be positive and productive people in the world. And another great way to show your sons like, hey, it's, you know, look what I did, this organization and all that. Not that you're saying, look what I did, but like just like they will see the work that you're putting in. And I think any parent really, or just people, kind people in general, and people who get it, appreciate what you guys did right there. Because I definitely remember when that was coming out in the different campaigns. So I applaud you for sharing
awesome.
That and also for...
Awesome. I'm glad you remember that. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
So, thank you very much. And, you know, you mentioned the book, Soulful Art of Persuasion, 11 Habits That Will Make Anyone a Master Influencer. Can you just share one of those habits with my listeners? Of course, we'll put up links somewhere people can purchase the book. But can you just, like, kind of share one of the things that you have found that maybe not only with, in regards to marketing, but just also in parenting as well?
So the book is based on Soulful Art of Persuasion. It's based on sort of four main principles, which is, can apply to to work and really to life and parenting. But the principles are about being original, which is always being yourself. It's about being generous, which is giving things away without expecting anything in return. It's about being, you know, empathetic, trying to find the commonalities in people. And it's about this idea of soulful, which is being inspirational and doing something beyond just trying to make money or profit or advance yourself. It's about doing something that's bigger than yourself. And I mean, that all sounds kind of like kumbaya, but it is grounded in following these principles. Does make you more successful professionally, because you're going to attract people and persuade them over to you because you're acting in this way. And some of these habits, you know, you might have naturally, you know, you might be naturally be a great storyteller or naturally be a generous person. But some of these can be learned behaviors and learned habits as well. And one of them is this idea of never be closing. And it's about shifting your mindset, and I have some techniques in the book, but it's about shifting your mindset to not, you know, you always think here in business, always be closing, you know, and always trying to lock in that deal. And never be closing to me represents building relationships over time, which will lead to business, which will lead to deals. But it's about building relationships and not expecting, well, if this guy didn't sign or if I didn't close this deal, then I'll move on to the next relationship. It's really about cultivating, and don't think about things in transactional terms. Think about them in relationship terms. And you're building relationships that will pay off down the road with compound interest. You just don't know where or when, but that's how I always look at it. Whenever I lose, in business and advertising, we're always pitching. We pitch ideas and some agency wins and four other agencies lose. But I always stay in touch with those clients so that they could boomerang back to me, but I build a relationship. And that's really how I look at things, which is, it's not a no forever. It's a no for now.
Yeah.
And I do try to teach that. I try to teach that to my kids too, which is just that idea of sticking with it and not looking at like things as binary, like I won or lost, but think about it as, you know, trying to play the long game. And So that's something that I really try to focus on.
So good right there. And I love that idea of like, no for now, but not forever. Cause I think Jason, I'm guessing in your experience, not just, you know, with the creative agency mechanism, but just in everything, right?
Yeah.
If you just said like, oh, they said no, so I'll go a different path, or I won't pursue this any time later in the future, you wouldn't be where you are today. Right. So that's such a great mantra to have, man. So thank you very much for sharing that. Now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one right now?
Step Brothers.
Nice. Well done, man.
My kids love that movie, and they probably shouldn't be watching it, but we probably watch it like four or five times. I mean, they love Will Ferrell. Like anything Will Ferrell, they love.
Oh, good choice right there. Favorite family song? I know you're into David Bowie, and there's a David Bowie question coming up, which might be tough for you to answer in the next one, but favorite family song, or is there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Well, my kid's favorite artist is Drake.
Okay.
I don't think it's one song, but like anything Drake, whenever we're on a road trip, we'll just play like Drake top tracks on a loop, and that's something like we all love Drake.
Nice, man. I know, again, we're all staying home doing our social distance thing, but when you can go out, maybe you've already experienced it, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Perfect family vacation would be beach. We would jet ski.
Nice.
We actually recently went on a trip. And we, you know, even during COVID, we went on a trip, but we like got an Airbnb, stayed in our Airbnb. But we always rent jet skis, and the three of us always go on a jet ski together, and at least once or twice we'll fall off of it.
Nah.
I'd say beach and jet ski, and you know, usually like mini golf, go karting, that type of thing. That's perfect vacation.
Awesome, man. Okay, and this might be a tough one for you because there's probably a lot. But favorite David Bowie song? Do you have one?
Oh man, favorite is my I guess Rebel probably is my favorite, even okay. though it's not a deep track. It's a little expected. I'd say that's probably my favorite.
Nice, man. And top three words you hope your sons would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Oh, wow. I would say fun, ambitious, and kind.
Nice. Great three words right there.
That's
people,
what I would say.
People, make sure you follow Jason on Twitter at Jason_Harris. Go to soulfulart.com for more on Jason. We can purchase the book. And also, too, parents, check out itsonus.org. I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's now more than ever we need to have that idea of, like, it's on us. Everybody should look out for everybody else. Jason, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat about fatherhood, your business, and even going and indulging me on the cereal rant. But thank you very much for all that stuff.
Anytime you want to talk cereal, I'm down. Yeah.
Continued success in the future, my friend. And I really appreciate all these things. The Art of Father, this podcast, I want people to take something and learn something. Maybe not just about fatherhood, but just about things in general. I feel like you jam-packed this. Just like, you know, Lucky Charms packs all that awesome punch of marshmallows and all that good stuff. You packed a lot of great knowledge into this podcast and this interview. So thank you very much for the time, sir.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, Art. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.